I'm talking to you today about tithes and offerings. You saw the financial report at the beginning of the year, and we have raised $84,000 for speakers. So I'm not preaching this message to try to get money out of you. Not at all. I preached it because God told me to, number one. Number two, God wants to bless you financially, and you need to know God's plan for blessing his people. And part of that is participating in tithes and offerings. And we need to obey God in every area of our lives. And so this message today can bless you. It can change your whole life, change your world. Paul says the Lord commanded that the gospel be supported in the same way as the Old Testament temple. And so I want to explain to you today and show you today why churches from the early church until today are receiving tithes and offerings. There's a reason for that. There's some people say, well, it's in the Old Testament. You don't have to tithe. Well, it also, the Word of God says God, he's given his promises for all of us, and tithing comes with a great promise. And so we need to know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? Who would that be? The Levites. There were 12 tribes. One tribe, the Levites, were asked to take care of the temple. They spent all their time taking care of the ministry. They did all the animal sacrifices. They were the singers. They were the ones who took care of the temple and worked on it and fixed it up and cleaned it. They were also the priests. The Levites made up all of these people, and they were not given inheritance when they went into the promised land. Why? Because they had to work full-time taking care of God's house, taking care of God's ministry. So how were they supposed to live? Because they did not get an inheritance. God says, I want the 11 tribes who work and farm and produce, I want you to bring your tithe into the storehouse, into the temple, so my full-time ministers can eat. Isn't that a pretty good plan? Now look at that. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? Well, what does that mean? It means if they had need food or clothes, they went to the temple. And also when they made the animal sacrifices, the preachers and the workers in the temple got all that meat. Who got the beef? The preacher. Can you say amen? And so when they made these sacrifices, the priest would take the blood of the animals and sprinkle it to cover their sins, and then they would burn the fat. Now, if you health nuts, I'm a little bit of a health nut myself, you burn the fat. You don't eat the fat. Isn't that wonderful? Modern medicine finally caught up with the Bible. You don't eat the fat. They burn the fat, but then they got the beef. They got the meat. It makes me want to go back to the old covenant. But Paul is making a point here. He's saying this is how God has always financed his temple and his work. Now look what he says. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, their clothes and supplies, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar. So the ministers in the temple receive their income from tithes and offerings. Verse 14, in the same way, say the same way. Well, it's not in the New Testament. Well, yes, it is. It's right here. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Same way. What way? Tithes and offerings. Don't say ever again it's not in the New Testament, because there it is right there. What way? The Lord commands the ministers of the gospel to receive their support in the same way. Notice Paul says, the Lord has commanded. Jesus Christ commanded it. Is what show that to me in the Gospels. It's not recorded in the Gospels that he said it, but the New Testament church knew he said it, and Paul knew he said it, and so Paul says it right here. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. What way? Tithes and offerings. So the Lord has commanded that ministers of the gospel receive their support in the same way. Notice Paul says, the Lord has commanded. I read that probably 100 times, and I never noticed, maybe 1,000 times, and never noticed it says the Lord commanded it. You see, this is not recorded in the Gospels where Jesus actually said to use tithes and offerings, but upon you he said it, and he quoted it or said it. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, remember, Paul said, this is Paul again, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you have heard that probably your whole life? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Preachers quote it, everybody quotes it. Guess what? That's not in the Gospels either. It's not in the Gospels where the Lord said that. It's more blessed to give than to receive, but we all believe it. Why? Because Paul and the early church people knew he said it. And that's why the church, all these 2,000 years, have received tithes and offerings, because that's God's plan to finance his church. Well, it's in the Old Testament. Well, let me tell you a secret. Every promise is for God's people. Every promise made in the Old Testament was made to God's people. Now, because the New Covenant, we're God's people. So every promise made to God's people is for us today. And one of the great promises is God blesses the tither. And you'll see that in a minute. It's a great blessing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, is honor the Lord with thy substance. Saying, you know, everything you have belongs to God. Well, it's my money. My daddy said, it's my money. No, it's not your money. Just drop dead and see how much you take with you. No, it's not your money. You're the stewardship over it for right now. And you need to obey God with it if you want to keep it. Amen. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And that's your tithe. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. You want your barns filled with plenty? You want to be blessed? It says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, which is the tithe. You see, this is a promise. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. If we want our barns to be filled with plenty, our bank account to be filled with plenty, we must give the first fruits of the increase. First fruits means we give God his 10% right off the top, because, and then pay the bills after we tithe. And that's what it means by first fruits. When you get your money, you give God his 10% first. And then you trust him to multiply what you have left to pay the bills. Harry Tilford, hi to Harry. he's been, how long you been coming here? 30 years? 33. So way back there, he heard this message, and he didn't tell me at first. He figured it up. At the end of the month, after he paid all the bills, he had $50. Is that right, Harry? And then he said, there's no way I can tithe, because I only have $50 left over. And he worked in Oak Ridge. He made a good salary. And so his tithe would be pretty good bit. And he said, I just can't do it. But the Word of God says, try me. And he believes the Word of God. So he tried him. And he started tithing. At the end of the month, he still had $50 left over. Is that right? That's right. He's able to pay all that tithe and still had money left over at the end. And so God says, try me, give me a test and see if I'll do it. So tithing is a great opportunity for you to get blessed if you just believe God and step out and quit believing that the preacher just wants your money. That's all he wants is your money. My daddy used to say that. That's all the preachers want, your money. And he was the stingiest guy. And we'd go to the Baptist church and I'd watch him. He'd drop in $1. And guess what? He lived under a curse his whole life. He was the hardest worker I ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything harder, a harder worker than him, except for my mama, two of the hardest working people I've ever seen in my life. But it seemed like every time Daddy turned around, something broke. You know, it was like he's under a curse. Couldn't get anything, and he could never see that. But I could see it, and I decided I didn't want to live that way. And after all that hard work, he was a farmer. He farmed all day, worked in a cotton mill all night. And I mean... he didn't get hardly any sleep, I guess. Maybe one reason is such a violent temper. He had mad throw things. But at the same time, he wasn't blessed because he wouldn't tithe. And he grew nearly everything we ate. And so his paycheck, you know, and the farm was paid for. And so we should have had plenty, but the curse kept getting his stuff. And I decided I don't want to live that way. So some preachers preach against tithing as if it's some sin. You don't have to tithe. You don't need to tithe. Well, those preachers are deceived, and they're not going to be blessed either. And it's up to you to decide what you believe if you want to be blessed. Decide what the Bible teaches, what the Bible says to you, and then try it. This is the one time God says, put me to the test, try me, tithe it, and I'll show you. Okay. Well, most of us in this room that I know of, I don't make it my business to find out who tithes and who doesn't. That's your business. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you right now, the promise is that he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So don't listen to those people who always run their mouth that don't know what they're talking about. I like to tell this story. I try to tell you every time I preach on tithing because it is the best example of what this says that I think I've ever heard. Ferdinand and Agnes Maila came here to the United States of America from Tanzania about 30, 35 years ago. Then they came to this church, and they stayed in this church pretty much until they moved to Atlanta, promoted there by their work. And they were in school at UT, but they could not work because they did not have a green card. And so they were here in a foreign country with no way to make a living. And so the way they made a living was tithing, honestly. And I have them to come every now and then, and they're really good on teaching on prayer. And I want to have them again as soon as I can to have them to teach on prayer. But I want to encourage them to share this testimony because I never seen anything like it in my life. They literally lived off of tithing. And when they would tithe, they'd get something to tithe on it, and then God would bless them with more. That's the way they made their living because they were going to school full time at UT. And no matter how big the need, the Lord took care of them, no matter what it was. Then one day, all these blessings stopped. Agnes prayed, and the Lord said, tithe. She said, we are tithing. She prayed again. The Lord said, tithe. She says, we are tithing. She prayed a third time, and the Lord says, tithe. So she went to Ferdinand. He was handling the money. She said, Ferdinand, we are tithing, aren't we? He says, no. I had a little financial problem and got behind a little bit, and so I quit tithing. Listen, if you get in trouble financially, the worst thing you can do is stop tithing. If you ever needed the blessing of the Lord, that's when you need it. Keep tithing. And so they had a nice little conversation. And when she got through with it, he decided to tithe. And so they told me all this after it happened. Not one time did they come to me or this church and ask for anything. They were totally dependent upon God blessing their tithing. Isn't that amazing? They lived off of tithing. Well, it's not for today. It doesn't work. Well, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. And anyway, so they had $26. It's all the money they had. And didn't tell me anything. I didn't know about this. Well, you took their $26. I didn't know anything about it. They just came to church that morning and dropped their $26 in. And all the blessings turned on again. Most unbelievable thing. And when they get, next time I want them to share that themselves. And so somebody brought them food immediately. A fisherman went fishing on Sunday and caught a lot of fish. And he felt guilty because that fishing's going to church. So he took the fish and gave it to them. Someone else gave them some furniture. God turned all the blessings back on. They began to be blessed in every way. And after this, God gave them great jobs and not only gave them a green card, but enabled them to become citizens of the United States of America. Their job promoted them to Atlanta. They've been there for about 30 years, and they are now retired in Atlanta, fairly wealthy. Don't tell them tithing doesn't work. You may want to try it if you're not a tither. And there's so many liars out there, the devil the devil encourages them to preach lies against his word. And a lot of people have believed that, but it's time you started getting in the Word of God and believing the Word of God for yourself. And that's why I spend all this time reading all these scriptures. I don't get up here and just say, God says to tithe. I show you what it says. And how many preachers do you know take that kind of time to really study it and present it so it's right in front of you? I don't ask you to believe anything I say. I ask you to believe the Bible. Why? Because it works for me. If it didn't work for me, I would quit preaching it. But it works. And under the old covenant, tithes and offerings were required, but with beautiful promises. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Just listen. I'm just showing you what the Bible says. If you tithe, you need to know why you're tithing. If you're not tithing and you're thinking about it, you need to know why you need to tithe. And this tells you why. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the Lord bringeth forth year by year. You see, the Lord is what makes you prosperous. People say, well, that's my money. Well, really, it's God's air. Amen. It's God's plants. It's God's ground. It all belongs to God. And he asked you to be a co-laborer with him and give him 10%. Is that too much? If you ever known a tenant farmer, they get more than 10%. The farmer that owns the land, yeah, my daddy did some. We had a 53-acre farm, and it wasn't enough for all of his crops. And so he would tenant farm some other people's farms. And they normally would require one-third of everything he grew on their property. God only requires 10%. For you to use his air and his ground, his rain, his sun, his and everything. Can you say, that's a pretty good deal. In verse 27, and the Levite, which is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him. You shall not cut off his tithe, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have any way to make a living. They got a house and some property to grow a garden, but they couldn't work it and produce an income. The tithe belongs to the Levites who take care of the house of God full time. Do we have Levites today? Yes, we do. I'm a Levite in a sense because I have been in a full-time ministry just about my whole life. And how am I supposed to eat if I can't get out and get a job? And how can I pastor a church like this? And most of the time I just have one pastor, me. And so I've been doing the work about five pastors for years and years and years. I don't have time to get out and get a job, even though I've been very good at business and I've had people offer me some good jobs if I leave the ministry and go to work at their business, but I'm not about to do that. So I just had to trust God to take care of me. Verse 29, it says, that the Lord thy God may bless thee. It says, tithe that the Lord may bless thee. So you tithe so you can be blessed. I'm just reading it. Is it on the screen? Can you read? And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, shall not cut off his tithe, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. He can't work a job. Verse 29, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the works of thine hand which thou doest, that the Lord thy God may bless thee. You tithe not only to bless God's work, but to bless yourself. I didn't write that. That's not my opinion. That's not my idea. I just read it out of the Bible, but I do believe it. And I believe it because it works for me. And I've been in ministry my whole life, and I've watched people who tithe. They are blessed more than anybody else. Verse 29, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. You see, this is a promise to the tither. We need to tithe so God can bless us. This tells us to tithe. You see, if you're greedy, God can't bless you. God does not bless greedy people. And if you get every dime you can and hang on to every dime you get, God's not going to bless that. Just not. This tells us to tithe so that God can bless all the works of our hands. Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, and behold, I've given the children of Levi, you see this over and over again. I have given the children of Levi all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance. That was their inheritance. for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. We have a full-time staff and full-time employees right here. How are we supposed to eat if we do not receive tithes? He said, well, that's just not God's plan. Well, then please tell me what God's plan is. I need to know today. If this is not God's plan, we need to know what the plan is today. Our utility bill alone, this big building, it costs about $6,000 a month to pay the utility bills. Hello? How are you supposed to pay that? How are you supposed to pay these salaries? Well, it's not tithe. Well, then what is it? Paul says, Jesus said, you support the New Testament church the same way they supported the old temple. Amen. How hard is that? Don't you know that those who work in the temple, in the church, get their food from the church, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. What way? Tithes and offerings. There you have it, black and white. Numbers 18:21 again. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Why did the Levites get the tithe? So they could do God's ministry and take care of the temple full time. I'm always concerned when visitors come in, they're going to think, if I'm preaching on this, they're going to think, well, all he wants is money. That is not true. I want to see you blessed. Michael Church, the first time he came here, we were taking an offering. And instead of getting offended by it, he pledged $2,000. First time he ever came here. Now, those are the kind of visitors we like. And the message was, if you obey God in your giving, God will bless you. And he felt led to give. And so he made the pledge. And Lynn, or whoever it was that told me, they said, this new guy, first time he ever visited the church, pledged $2,000 to the church. I said, well, don't hold your breath. I'm a great man of faith. Great faith. Don't hold your breath. And the next day, he brought in $2,000. I said, wow, this stuff works. And he had some big deal come down on Monday, and he brought that $2,000 in just like he promised. At that time, he was almost bankrupt, having marriage issues, about to lose her house, about to lose everything. I think he had a problem with alcohol. And after he gave that money and recommitted his life to the Lord, God started blessing him. God gave him an idea of Cross Space Ninja. Have you seen these big signs around town? And in other states, you can see those signs. I was driving through Georgia, and they got those signs down there. God gave him that idea after he started tithing and giving, and he didn't go bankrupt. God blessed his socks off because he obeyed God with his money. You don't obey the preacher. You give the way God tells you to give, and God tells you from his word, tithes and offerings. We know where the tithe goes. It goes to take care of the ministry of the church. But then the offerings, like this money we raised for these speakers, you have to ask God to show you what he wants you to give. That's not my business. That's your business. Between you and God, what does God want me to do? And I did the same thing. God, what do you want me to do? And I literally gave thousands of dollars to that because God has blessed us, and the more we give, the more he blesses us. And I don't know, some of you may get tired of these fundraisers, but me and Milton and Michael and a whole bunch of us, we look forward to these fundraisers because we know God's going to bless us if we obey God with our giving. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You see, these people were not given a farm. They had no way to make a living except receive the tithe from the other 11 tribes. The Levites were to take care of God's ministry, and the other 11 tribes were to support them with 10% of all their increase, produce. This was and is God's plan to finance his church today. Verse 24, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. They shall not have property to farm. They shall not have a job. They shall not work in the cotton mill. Of course, those cotton mills have been sent to other countries. And my family worked cotton mills. That's the way I worked my way, partly the way I worked my way through college, cotton mills. But they were not allowed to do that. They were to be in that temple working like me right now. I'm not allowed to go work somewhere. Now, the church would fire me if I did. They want me working right here. Well, how can I work right here if I don't get some money? And you know me well enough to know that's not why I'm here. I mean, we're past retirement age. I don't have a big retirement fund because Dottie and I put about everything we got back into the church. That's where our heart is. That's all we care about. Not Brian complaining, but that's just what it is. Okay. And God hasn't let me down. I live in a house worth over $1 million. And I didn't ask for it. Somebody called me on the phone and said they want to give me a house. I thought it was a shack down by the radio tracks. When I went to see it, I like to have a heart attack. It's in Fox Den. And I'm Jed Clampett. I'll stand here on the platform and you can have a chance to meet Jed Clampett. That's exactly what I feel like. And all these rich people around me, how in the world I get out here? God will not forget you if you obey him. It's amazing. It's amazing. I was Harry's neighbor for 30 years. He was glad for me to get out of there, weren't you, Harry? No. You can tell the truth. But anyway, his backyard joins my backyard, and our kids used to meet there in the backyard and play together. I miss that neighborhood. I really do. And I'm more comfortable in that neighborhood than I am out where I'm at right now. But the point is, God doesn't forget those who obey him. And that does include money. We obey God with our money. Hello. Answer that. Okay. The Levites were called by God to only do ministry. If I went out and took a job, I'd bring the judgment of God on myself. Because God told me to do this. You see, the tithe goes to finance the work of the ministry. Do we have Levites today? I answered that already. Yes. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The Lord says that the tithe is holy unto me. I want that money to go to take care of my church, my ministry, my ministers. I want that to go there, and it's holy unto me. The tithe is holy to the Lord because he uses it to finance his church. He spoke to me in college. And being an old farm boy, and I was in a tiny church, about 20 people, about all I had vision for was to believe that maybe I could pastor a little church. I knew I was called a pastor and teach school. That was my plan. And one night, I was in the bedroom there in the farmhouse. We had 2 bedrooms, you know, 8 kids, and mom and dad. Small house, almost like a Dolly Parton story. Except I didn't become a billionaire like her. Dolly Parton and I were born the same year, 1 week apart. And look what she's done, and look what I've done. But anyway, God blesses. And as far as I can tell, she's a godly, spirit-filled lady from the way she talks. And some of the movies she's produced a couple of movies about her life. I mean, it'll make you cry. It's unbelievable how God raised her up. Can you say amen? And there's another case of God raising up of one of his people. And she's known all over the world. She's probably known all the world better than some of our presidents. You know, she's an incredible person. But God has blessed her, and she'll tell you that. So it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the years, it's the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So he spoke to me in college. He says, you are getting a degree to teach, but don't you ever use it. So what? Don't you ever use it. I've called you to preach full time. I've called you to be in the ministry full time. I will use the ministry to take care of you. He told me that when probably 19 years old. And now I'm 119. And I can tell you, he's never let me down one time. I didn't come from money. I came from a farm. I came from riding the track, plowing the tractor, chasing the pigs. That's a trip. On Christmas Day one year, it was freezing cold, raining cold, freezing rain, and we had about 20 pigs get out. We spent the whole Christmas Day chasing those pigs. That's where I came from. And I would jump on one of those pigs and grab it, and it was soaking wet. It'd be like grabbing a bar of soap. We like that. Never got those pigs up. That's where I come from. So I never expected a whole lot. But God has blessed me anyway. And the way the first board we had, we started church from zero. The first board we had met, and they said, well, how are we going to pay the preacher? We don't have any money. Okay. So they said, we're going to let people just designate money to his salary, and then we'll pay him a salary out of that. And that has stuck. That's still the way it is. People designate money to the pastor, and the board, and the business manager, they supervise that. And they let me know how much money I have, but I just take a regular small amount. And most years, I have given back thousands of dollars, didn't even take it. Why am I telling you that? I want you to know I'm not trying to get your money. I don't need your money. We started this church with zero, no money. God took care of us then. He'll take care of us now. But you need to give. But you don't need to give because I tell you to. You need to give because this book tells you to. And that's why we put the scriptures up there. So you can, he's making this up. I'm not making it up. And I use different scriptures from different translations. The reason I do that, well, I mean, I'm a seminary education. I have a doctorate earned. And I do know a little bit about a little bit. And so what I try to do is I try to pick the translation that's closest to the Greek or closest to the Hebrew. That's why I use different versions. Somebody said I was just doing it to try to trick people. They're nuts. I got more important things to do than try to trick people. And so that's why I use different translations, because in my opinion, these are the closest to the real meaning. And of course, if you're in doubt, get to old King James. I still go to old King James, you know, and verify everything. But at the same time, these scriptures is what you need to know. And if you want to look them up in the King James, you go right ahead. You say amen. But anyway, Malachi 3:8, this is where most people start. And you can see I got tons of scriptures before we ever got to this one. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? By now you know what he's talking about. He's talking about them taking the money that goes to Levites and not giving it to them. That's why he says, you've robbed me. You need to know all of that to know what this means. And you can tell I spent hours studying this over the years. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, how plain can you get? You say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? That's New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, verse 13, that I read at the beginning. And verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, the whole nation of you. If you are tired of living, if we are tired of living under a curse, we may want to try tithing, if we're not already doing it. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? Then it was the temple. They actually had storerooms in the temple. And if I preach on this further in the near future, I will show you that. They would bring their tithe into the storerooms in the temple, and then they had Levites who dished out the food and dished out what they needed as they came for it. And it was a system like a grocery store inside of the temple where they gave people their provisions. And that's why it says bring all the tithe in the storehouse, because that was the storehouse. And in this case, you bring your tithe into the church and it goes into the treasury, general account, whatever you want to call it. Amen. Same thing. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there be food in my house. Bring your tithe into the house of God so the people working full-time can have something to eat and the ministry can be taken care of. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this. King James says, try me now. Try me. He puts you to the test. And I don't know of any other time where God says, try me this. He says, I'll give you a chance to try me. I'll show you. Like Harry. He put him to the test. And over the years, he's blessed him a lot more than that. But that first test, he still had $50 left after he paid his tithes, which was probably several hundred dollars for the month. That's an amazing testimony. And that testimony about Agnes Ferdinand, that's one of the most amazing things I've ever heard in my life. Because you see it. They're tithing. They're blessed. They're living off of tithing. And they tithe, and God blesses them. When Ferdinand loses faith, quits tithing, all the blessings stop. And when they start tithing again, it all starts again. And so, that's a good story. Verse 11, then, listen, I think this is my favorite part. Then I rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord. He says, if you tithe, I rebuke the devourer so it doesn't devour your stuff. What is the greatest devourer in America today? Sickness, disease, hospital bills, medical bills. It's a devourer. And as a tither, I can tell Deb, you're not going to devour my stuff with big medical bills. I'm believing God to heal me. And I rebuke this devourer. And you don't believe in doctors? Yes, I do. I love doctors. One of my best friends is a doctor right now. And he believes in healing as much as I do. Divine healing, not just medical healing. And I go to him every year for a thorough examination. I just went in July, got the report. He said, I'm totally healthy. Everything is perfect except for my looks and my mental condition. I believe in doctors. But at the same time, I have a right to ask God to rebuke the devourer off of me so I don't spend all my money on medical bills. Amen. To me, that's the greatest promise. Then I rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your ground. But if we do not tithe, it does bring a curse. When we recognize that the tithe is not ours but God's, then he will bless us and rebuke the devourer. I believe, as I just said, this is one of the greatest promises concerning tithing. God says, I rebuke the devourer for you, and we need to claim this and believe this. When the devil's trying to make us sick or put something on us, it's going to cost thousands of dollars. We have a right to say, Lord, rebuke this thing. Don't let it eat up my money. One of the saddest things I've ever seen, this lady came to my office. She was in tears. She was totally distressed. Her father had $200,000 or $300,000 in the bank, and he got sick. And she's helping take care of him. That was her money. But the medical bills took every dime of it. And she was left with nothing. If you don't think this is important, this is important. Lord, rebuke the devourer. Thank you, Jesus. I had a friend who was a businessman in Louisville, Kentucky, probably 45, 50 years ago. And he owned a great restaurant, popular restaurant. But he told me he did not believe in tithing. He sold that restaurant and put the money in the stock market and lost every dime of it. And he spent years building that restaurant. So he started another one. And I would talk to him about tithing, and he just wouldn't listen. He's a good friend. He would give me free meals at his restaurant. But giving the associate pastor free meals doesn't count as a tithe. And so I'm sitting in that restaurant one day eating my food, and all of a sudden the tiles begin to just flood down out of those tiles, fill the restaurant with smoke, and so we all ran out. And by the time we got outside, flames were already coming through the roof. We stood there and watched that restaurant burn all the way down to the ground. And then I asked him, do you have insurance? He says, no. He lost everything he had again. but he didn't believe in tithing. He refused to tithe. And then he built another restaurant. Somehow he was a good businessman, so he kept finagling everything, and he was able to get another. It went bankrupt. Now, everybody's not under a curse quite that big when they don't tithe, but there's a curse that goes with not tithing. I could tell you some more stories, but I got to move on. I know y'all want to get out of here before 3. I'll be done when I'm done. No, it won't be long. The Bible says that we are to give tithes and offerings. Let's look at that a minute. Tithes and offerings to God's work. Acts chapter 35, verse 4. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze. This is not the tithe. This is a special offering to build the tabernacle." They did not go to the Levites and take their tithe. They left it there. They took a special offering. So this is a special offering to build God's tabernacle. It was like a big tent, but it was where they worshiped God and did his offerings and everything, and the sacrifices and everything, but it was a big tent, and it cost a lot of money to build that thing, and so they built it, but it was portable, so they could take it with them as they moved through the wilderness. But they took a special offering to build that. They could not take the tithe from the Levites. That belonged to the Levites. That was their inheritance. So they had to take an offering for the building. Now, this is what we did just now with the speakers. We believed God for a special offering to take care of the speakers so the money could be used in the tithes could be used in the ministry to take care of salaries and utility bills and those kind of things we have to run this place, cause it to go. So if you use a tithe, and that's why it's so important when you do a special fundraiser, you don't use your tithes for that. You give above your tithes. You can't give above your tithes. You don't feel led to give above your tithes. Then just don't give. Amen. Hallelujah. You ever had a preacher tell you not to give? Now you have. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3. "Moreover, in my delight," this is King David, in my delight in the house of my God," do you light in God's house, in God's ministry? "In my delight in the house of my God, the treasury I have of gold and silver I give to the house of my God over and above all that I have already provided for the holy temple." So David is giving money and raising money from other people to build the temple. He didn't get to build it, but Solomon, his son, did. This was not a tithe. It was an offering to build God's temple in Jerusalem. The people followed his example, and they gave money, and they built the temple under Solomon. Just as they took an offering to build the tabernacle, they took an offering to build the temple. They did not use the Levites' money. The Levites needed that money to live on, and they didn't touch it. You see, we can listen to the deceiving spirits of the devil and not listen to God's word. I'm going to listen to God's word. How about you? Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Now, this may blow your mind. At least it's interesting. "And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases." If you've heard this before, you probably heard it right here, because I haven't heard any preacher preach on it. "And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household." So he had some pretty important, outstanding people following him around and giving to his ministry. "Susanna and many others." You see, these women, goes on to say, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. So Jesus Christ received offerings. This group of women followed him around and they gave to him. And you know, other people were giving to him. He could not, listen to this, the Son of God could not take the Levites' money. He could not take the tithe. Why? Because he was not of the house of Levi. He was of the house of Judah. And the priest hated him. They were not going to give him any of the tithe money. So he financed himself and 12 men with offerings. And he had to bring in quite a bit of money because it says Judas was stealing out of his treasury. And he still had enough money to take care of 13 men. Tithes and offerings. Jesus lived off of offerings. He was like the modern day evangelist. He didn't take the tithes from the church. He received offerings. And he may have been taking an offering when he said this. Luke chapter 6, this is my imagination that he may have been taking an offering. But this is what he said. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosoms. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. We need to be generous and be givers if we want to be blessed. You see, Jesus is preaching. He's teaching the people to be generous in their giving, and he is definitely receiving offerings himself. So he's encouraging them to be generous and maybe even generous toward him. When we give, Jesus says that it will be measured back to the same measure. And, you know, there's a group of preachers preaching against what they call the prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel. Well, this is the gospel. This is the word of God. Call it what you want to call it. And I don't believe in any prosperity gospel. And I know there's ministers who have used scriptures like this to do everything they can to get money out of people for their own benefit. I have never done that, will never do it, and you know it. But if you want to be blessed, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. And you folks who gave to buy these speakers and what we just raised the money for, some cameras and stuff, if you'll watch your income, you'll see God blessing you. And there'll be times when God rebukes the curse, you don't even see that. All you know is you're being blessed. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because God blesses the giver, whether it's tithes and offerings or both, he blesses the giver. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosom. You see, if we want our barns to be filled with plenty, we must give the first fruits of our increase. First fruits means we give God a tenth right off the top and then pay our bills. Tithing is a promise with a condition, and that condition is tithe, and I open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Let's all stand.